Gospel, Matthew chapter 2. All over the world, families and friends give presents to each other. Most children around the world believe in a Christmas gift bringer. Some places he's called Saint Nicholas, others Santa Claus or Father Christmas. But in parts of Germany, they believe that it's the Christkind or the Christ child. In Spain, they believe it's the wise men. In parts of Italy, they believe it's an old lady called Befana. Yeah, behave, a Befana's not going to bring you presents. Presents are opened on different days over the world as well. The earliest presents are opened on St. Nicholas Eve on December 5th. I know you kids are thinking, man, lucky kids. December 5th. When children in Holland, age 10 or so, receive their presents on St. Nicholas Day, the 6th of December, children in Belgium, Germany, the Czech Republic, and some other European countries open some of their presents. And Christmas itself, of course, we know is about a big present that God gave the world 2,000 years ago, Jesus. One of the most famous Bible verses, you see it at basketball games, in the end zones, at football games, and under the eyes of Tim Tebow and others, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And with a gift like that, what in the world could we give Jesus? Well, look in chapter 2 of Matthew. As we read the account of the visit of the wise men or the magi, some say there were three because there's three gifts they give. But again, we really don't know the number, how many there were, but we do know that this occurred. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Let me set that in context. Herod was crazy. He was so concerned that his power would be diminished or that he would be usurped or kicked out that he took every measure to see that didn't happen. There was a saying among the Romans in his day that said it was safer to be Herod's dog than to be one of his children. Because he did have some of his children killed, because he viewed them as a threat. This guy was certifiably crazy. And so it troubled him when he heard about this other coming king. In verse 4, it says, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.'" By the way he wanted to worship him was by killing him. Because you've got to understand, the devil didn't know everything, but he knew enough that the Son of God was going to come to the earth. He understood the Bible. Satan understands the Bible. It's people that have problems with the Word of God, not the devil. He understood it. And so Satan doesn't know everything like God knows. So when he hears the Word, he absolutely, his ears perk up, and no doubt stirred Herod's heart, because he wanted to do everything in his power to kill Jesus before he could accomplish his mission. Let me say this. Many of you have survived sickness, accidents, and other circumstances, even when you were children, to bring you to a place where you are right now. And I'm going to tell you, it's for the same reason the devil would like to get rid of you, is because he knows that God has a plan for you. And so Herod was nuts. He was looking for an opportunity to kill Jesus as being a threat, not to worship him. And then verse 9, it says, "And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." What can I give Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you for this morning already. Lord, the fellowship we've had, the fun we've had, the music we've heard. Now, God, we come to this place where you have asked that I open this word and present it. God, I want it to be a blessing. I don't want to stand up here a pointless, powerless preacher. I want you to use this. And God, that you would guide and direct us. Help us to honor you. And Lord, again, use this to be a blessing. And Lord, I want to pray right now for Leah, that you would put your hand upon her in such a way that you would direct her path, that you would open doors that no man could shut, and you would shut other doors that no one can open, and that you would direct her and use her. Help us as a church to be mindful of that and the support you have us to give. Now, God, use this word again, I pray today, to remind us of what Jesus would like to get from us for Christmas. And we ask this in his name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You know, as you look at this, it's kind of quaint. I built a manger scene and put it in my front yard, and the rain managed to beat all the straw to death, Medford, but it still looks like hay, so it still works. It's just soaking wet. But we do that this time of year to remind us. Now, I don't have the wise men out there. They do make them that light up like that, but I don't know where to find them now. It used to be you could buy the animals and the whole nine yards that lit up. Mine would look like a runway at National Airport in D.C. if I put any more lights in the front yard. But you wonder, when they give these gifts, is there anything in the Bible that's there by accident? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And always remember this, there's always more than meets the eye. These gifts were impressive to anyone, but they were symbolic to this child. What we want to look at is maybe by looking at what they gave, maybe we can learn what Jesus would have us give to him this Christmas. It's interesting that it says they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Also interesting, in Isaiah's prophecy, we find these words, "The people of Sheba will bring gold and frankincense and will come worshiping the Lord." 700 years before Jesus came around, you have a prophet saying, folks are going to come give this guy something. And of those, two of them were gold and frankincense. Now, do you think that there's something important about these items? Absolutely. The first thing I want you to notice is the gold. You see, the gold is the gift of lordship. This was a gift reserved for a king. But in the case of Jesus, we find it was a gift of lordship to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Creator King. In John's Gospel, it says of Jesus that all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. He's the Sustainer King. In Colossians 1, it says, speaking of Jesus, he existed before anything else and holds all creation together. You may have seen this on Facebook and other places, but one of the glues that holds cell structure together within the human body is called melanin. And when you look at melanin under a microscope, the shape is not accidental. It's the shape of a cross. That's interesting. That the cross would hold everything together, but the truth of it is, it's who hung on the cross that holds everything together. And his name is Jesus. He is also the Provider King in Deuteronomy 8. "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." In the movie Shenandoah, the head character, the dad, is bitter against God because his wife died. And one of the things that his wife insisted on was that when she was gone, they would continue to say the blessing over every meal. And Jimmy Stewart, who plays the dad, is sitting there, and he does an excellent job in the movie. He sits at the head of the table, and he basically says this: God, we grew this. We harvested it. It's what we did. Thanks. Wow, that's bitter. Now, by the end of the movie, his whole attitude changes toward God and everything else. But that's the attitude of the world today. They think they've done it. They think they climbed the ladder to success. And like a lot of people find out, they may climb the ladder to success, but then find out it's leaning against the wrong wall. But with Jesus, we see in here that the wise men bring him gold because he is truly a king. And as a king in old English times, you would call him, if you addressed the king, you would say, "My Lord." Now, what does Jesus want? Well, you've got to understand how Jesus values you. Jesus said this as he was ministering, and he said to people, he said, "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" So what Jesus is saying is, your soul is worth more than gold. And if I were to set today, keeping it in the context of the wise men and what they brought, now you may not have gold to bring to Jesus today, but you've got something better. You've got you. You see, this is a time of year when we need to give ourselves to the Lord more than ever. What does he want for Christmas? What does he want? He wants me. And he wants you. How much does he want? Everything. You see, as Lord, they have power in the English hierarchy. They have the power over life and death. And you've got to understand the reason that your lungs are drawing breath this morning and your heart is beating is because Jesus is holding you together. He's allowing you to be here. You say, "No, no, it's my cell structure." Let me tell you something. If God wants you home, you will exit when God wants you home. Amen. And the fact that you're here, one of the first things that you ought to give to Jesus is yourself. To make him Lord. When it says in the book of Romans concerning how you become a Christian, it says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, it literally in the translation means Jesus as Lord. If you will confess Jesus as your Lord, not just call him, "Well, yeah, he's a Lord." No, no, he's your Lord. So the first thing that Jesus wants out of you and me this Christmas is ourselves. Think on that. He wants you and me. He could pick anybody to be on his team, but he wants you and he wants me. The second thing, it gets more interesting to me, frankincense. Frankincense was basically made from the gum of a bush, a thorny bush. But it was very fragrant. And it's interesting, you see, this is the gift of fellowship to the physician priest. Jesus is called the great physician. One of the most amazing pictures I've ever seen in a doctor's office. It shows a doctor doing surgery on someone. And you can't see the blood and gore, but you can see his mask, and he's got the hat on, and the gown, and the gloves, and he's got a scalpel, and behind him you see Jesus holding his hand. Let me tell you, if medicine works, it's because Jesus allowed it to work. If surgery works, it's because he allowed it to work. He is still the great physician, amen?
Amen.
And back in that day, frankincense was used as a medicine. It had healing properties. And it was often used as a pain-relieving ointment for arthritis. They found it really, literally worked to take that gum and rub it in that had properties that would ease pain. And also would be an antiseptic and would help in healing. Now, it's interesting that that would be one of the gifts that was brought, and he that was laying there in that manger was the great physician, and as it were, these wise men brought him medicine. Interesting. At least I thought it is. The interesting thing is you've got to understand in Jewish culture what context it was set in. If you were sick in Jewish culture, nowadays we tell our workers, if you're sick, stay home. Why? Don't want to spread it. Jewish culture had a simpler solution. Here's what they did. If you were sick, they would separate you out. They would take you and put you outside of the camp when they were wandering through the wilderness. God said, don't let them stay in among the other people. Isn't it interesting that God knew all that before Louis Pasteur? That there were bacteria and germs and things? And he said, isolate them. Put them out. Separate them. See, here's the problem. I want you to get this. Hang with me. It's a little complex, but I think you can get it with me. Hang on. If I can get it, surely you can. If sickness separates you from everyone else, what does sin sickness do between us and God? And Jesus, as the great physician, came to be the balm in Gilead to bring healing to you and me. Now, what was interesting, what they had to do, Connie Sue, in that day, I know you know it, is if they had been sick, they couldn't just walk back in and associate with people. They had to go report to the priest. And the priest would check them. The physician priest would look at them and say, you are now clean. You can come back in. You cannot declare yourself clean. You cannot declare yourself ready to come back. And you can't declare yourself to be right with God. Only the great physician can take you and me from a place of sin sickness and bring spiritual healing and allow us to come into the family of God. Say amen. Amen. See, there's a lot of meaning in these three gifts. This frankincense, it's just so powerful and so deep. And time really won't allow me to develop it thoroughly, but I want you to understand something. Scripture says this, that in sin sickness we are separated from God. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. So Jesus steps in as our healer. He takes and pays for our sin, and he spiritually makes us able to come into the body and be part of Christ. Amen. But then he's also the high priest. The high priest had two jobs that were very important. First of all, they interceded between men and God. Now, I'm not trying to throw off on anybody's religion or anything. I'm just telling it like it is. In the Catholic faith, they still believe that the priest is a go-between between you and God. I want to say this as kindly as I can. And I know of some priests that are godly people that can pray for you, and I know it's effective. But I want to tell you right now, if you're where you ought to be with God, you don't need anyone else to carry your prayers to God. You can carry them to God. Say amen. Amen. But the only way you can do that is if you have been reconciled to God by the great high priest. Because our sin has separated us. But see, the high priest, what he would go and do, he would go in and he would make a sacrifice for your sin so that your sin was rolled away so that God could hear your prayers. When Jesus died, the Bible says that he was better than the blood of bulls and goats that couldn't take away your sin. It just rolled it back. But Jesus took away your sin and mine, nailing it to his tree, and you and I are forgiven because of his blood. Amen. So frankincense was critical for the high priest. The Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Secondly, the priest would go in and offer up incense. It was used in Jewish worship to represent prayers going up to God. Inside the temple, inside the holy place, there was an altar of incense. And the priest would go in there and he would sprinkle this special incense on there so that as it went up the smoke, it was a picture of the prayers of all the people, all of God's people going up to God. Anybody want to guess what the primary ingredient in that incense was? Frankincense. You see, there's more here than meets the eye. When it said they brought him gold, that was a gift. That was a gift of lordship for the King of Kings. When it brought frankincense, it was the gift of fellowship. Because you see, sin had broken our fellowship between us and God. And through the high priest and prophet, priest, king, and physician, he brought us together through himself. And there's forgiveness and access. What does he want from Christmas? For Christmas, for me, he wants to fellowship with me. Did you ever think that God wants to fellowship with you? Think that through. And how do you do that? Through simple prayer. Through what you're doing right now. If you're in tune with him this morning. Now, if you're not, if you're like some, you may be this way. This fellow said, now I'm not going to rap this one because the other one caused you to lose your mind. I rap so good. Y'all want to put me on a record label. Now, I'm not going to rap this time, okay? He said, I had the nicest Christmas list, the longest one in town. So Daddy took a look at it and said, you'll have to cut it down. I knew that what he said was true beyond the fairest doubt, but was amazed to hear him say, you've left your best friend out. And so I scanned my list again and said, oh, that's not true. But Dad said, his name's not there, that friend who died for you. And then I clearly understood 'twas Jesus that he meant. For him who should come first of all, I hadn't planned to send. I'd made a Christmas birthday list and left the Savior out, but oh, it didn't take me long to change the list about. And though I've had to drop some names of folks I like a lot, my Lord must have the most because his name is at the top. Is his name at the top of your list today? As King of Kings, he deserves the gold. As a physician priest, he deserves the frankincense. The king wants lordship. That means control over your life and mine. As the priest, he wants to be our intercessor. And he wants God to fellowship with us. And not only that, Jesus wants to fellowship with us. You know what blew people's mind about Jesus? Who he hung around with. Now, I'm not advocating any kind of lifestyle or being crazy. And it was Jesus, not Chip. So I, being an alcoholic in my background, I'd have a tough time going down to Tootsie's down in Nashville and trying to witness to people. You with me? But Jesus didn't have any problem. If you wanted to look for Jesus in Nashville, don't go to First Baptist. And I'm not throwing off on their church. Not good. Don't go to that huge, gorgeous Presbyterian church down there. Gorgeous. And they may preach the word. But if you really wanted to see Jesus walking around, I'll tell you where he'd be. Printer's Alley. He'd be down in there among the people that other people in town in Brentwood would turn their nose up and down. But not Jesus. You see, he came from the uttermost and went to the guttermost so that you and I could have fellowship with God. Hence the frankincense.
Amen.
But then, there's the last one. There's myrrh. You've got the gold, the gift of lordship, frankincense, the gift of fellowship. But then finally, you have myrrh, the gift of worship to the suffering Son. It is rightly said that Jesus was born to die. Now, when Mary got these gifts, I'm sure when she got the gold, that was cool. Now think about it. They're poor folks. They're poor in dirt. And somebody walks in and gives you a bunch of gold, would that tickle your fancy? Yeah. Frankincense smells pretty. But guess what smells even better? Myrrh. Myrrh. It was used in perfumes. As a matter of fact, it was bundled in bags like a sachet and put in people's houses like air freshener. So it must have smelled delicious when they opened the box and there's this myrrh in there. Not only that, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it was said that before Esther went into the presence of the king that she was to marry, that for 6 months they would bathe her daily with myrrh, so that it was in her skin, this beautiful, beautiful smell. So when she came in before the king, it was the deodorant, the secret deodorant of their day. She smelled gorgeous. It was used to mark special occasions, but it was also an intoxicant. It was mixed with wine and given to those who were condemned to death. But those are just the minor uses. Another use of it was an ingredient for the anointing oil for the king and the priest. When you became a king or you became the priest, the leading head priest, and or back in the days of Samuel, a prophet would come up to you and have a container of oil and say, I am anointing you with oil, and that made you the Lord's anointed. That meant God was blessing you. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. And so to have oil poured on you by a prophet or a priest meant God was calling you to serve. As it were, when Leah said, God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. It was as if the Holy Spirit poured oil on her and said, I'm anointing you for this. By the way, when God calls you to do something, you'll never have peace until you do it.
Amen.
And so it was one of those ingredients. But those things are important. But that wasn't the major use for myrrh. It was used as a form of embalming fluid. So though the gift, she opens the gold, and boy, that's exciting, it's gold. And frankincense, she could get that. Because it was a medicine, and it was commonly available. But then when they opened the myrrh, the first thing that happened is she remembered that smell from the last funeral she was at. Because it was used as an embalming fluid. What they would do is they would take the body when they would prepare it and had time. They would wash that body. And what they would do is they would take and they would wrap the body with a layer of thin cloth. Then they would put myrrh in between the strips of the cloth and spread it around. Then they would wrap it again. And then another layer, cloth, and another layer till it looked almost like a mummy. They'd leave everything covered except the face. And then they put a special napkin over that to cover the face. And they would use myrrh as an embalming fluid. So here she gets a wonderful gift of gold, the gift of frankincense, and then embalming fluid. Yes, Jesus was born to be king. Yes, he was the prophet, physician, priest. But he was also born to die. You see, he was the suffering son. You remember on the cross, the Bible tells us in one of the Gospels that he was given that wine mixed. And what it had in it, no doubt, was myrrh, because it had an intoxicating effect. It was made to numb you so you wouldn't feel it. What did Jesus do with it, by the way? He refused it. He refused it. In the book of Hebrews, it said that Jesus tasted death for every man. What that meant was, everything that has to do with death, all the pain, all the separation, all the hurt, all the agony, Jesus was not numb to any of it. He suffered all of it, but every bit of it was suffered because of my sin and your sin. In Isaiah, it says it this way, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So here he got, as a gift, as a baby, basically embalming fluid. Wow. I hope you see it differently now, these gifts differently. You say, well, what is that equal to? Well, if the gold is equal that he wants me and wants me to claim him as Lord, I get that. I can give him me for Christmas. And if the frankincense means he wants to fellowship with me, I get that. But what does the myrrh mean? Well, here's what it means. He wants me to be in His heavenly choir. Because the only way I can get to heaven is if He dies for me and takes my place so that I can go to heaven. Are you with me? That's exactly what He did. I love this passage of Scripture. There's several in Revelation 5 and then in chapter 7. This is from chapter 7, and I love it. It said, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in with white robes and palm branches in their hand, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen. One day, your pastor is going to be in the heavenly choir. So you say what you want to about my singing now. There was a song, an old quartet song years ago, and the title of it was Please Let Me Sing in the Choir. And there was an old man who could not sing a lick. He would go to every choir practice, and he'd be the one that sounded like a cat being thrown through a screen door. He couldn't sing a lick. And so they wouldn't let him. He was the Barney Fife of his day. He could not sing. But at his funeral, he said, I can sing now. He had it read at his funeral, I can sing now. So one day, my friend, because we have claimed Him as Lord, we will have fellowship with Him here. But we will also take advantage of the suffering Son that gives us worship in heaven. We'll be able to worship Him in heaven. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This Christmas, give Him you. Make Him Lord. By trusting Him as your personal Savior. Secondly, have fellowship with Him. Jesus wants to have fellowship. We have a fellowship meeting. You know where Jesus would be? He'd be right in the middle of it. He'd be right in the middle of it. I can see Him going from table to table. Saying, how you doing, Mander? Kids driving you nuts today. You know what He'd tell you? He said, they're good ones. You hang on to them. And if He told you, here's my plan for this one, this one, this one, and this one, it will blow your mind. Because you see, Jesus wants us to be in that choir. He wants us to be in heaven, and He's prepared a place for you, He said. And some families, they still do this. When they have Christmas dinners or New Year's, sometimes around Thanksgiving, they'll put an empty chair. What does the empty chair stand for?
Jesus.
No. That sounds good, but no. You know what they do it for? Family members that have died. They remember the dead. In heaven, if there's an empty chair, it's because you missed life. Because He's prepared a place for you. Why in the world would you miss it? Why would you miss it? So what should you give to Him this Christmas? It all starts with giving yourself to Him. Amen. Would you stand with me? I'm going to have Brian come and play a verse of invitation song. As he does, as we come around the corner here to finish up the year, next Sunday be New Year's Eve. This year will be gone before you know it. As you stand there and you look back over the last year, I want you to think right now of things that have happened that haven't been so good. Tough things that have been in your life. Some of them you may still be going through, but for the most part, they're behind you. I'm going to ask you a question. Was God faithful this year to you?
Amen.
Amen. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, as we finish up this year, if you'd like to come and just thank Him for being Lord, for being our physician priest, for being our suffering Son that took our place, you'd just like to thank Him. Why don't you leave your seat and come and just kneel and tell Him thank you. And then when you're done, go ahead back to your seat. Just come bow and worship before Him. Say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness to me. Thank you. If you can't kneel, come sit on a front pew. Come. Come and just say thank you, Lord. Because the truth of the matter is, you've been through it. You're not still in it. If you can't kneel, come and just sit on an empty pew up front. Father, we bow before you. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercies to us. And Lord, we come and give ourselves to you new and afresh. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. You deserve the gold, God, and you have it all. We come before you, Jesus, as our prophet, priest, physician. And thank you for the healing that's in you. That with our wounds that were so grievous in our hearts, Lord, that by your wounds they were healed. And God, we're thankful that wounded and broken hearts can still be mended by what you've done on Calvary. Lord, you suffered as that suffering son, and you are worthy of all worship, and we worship you today. And we thank you. Thank you, God, for what you've done and what you're doing. And we just ask you to bless. And Lord, just to go with us as we come toward this new year. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we get ready to leave, I want you to pray for one another that we'll stay safe during this holiday season. But also start praying. I really mean pray hard for Leah, okay? Amen. The Lord will direct and guide. It's a bold step. It's one thing to go for a week, and that's important, and it matters. Be a short-term missionary is an important step. But to go above that and say, I'm going to go, and I'm going to stay as long as God wants me to stay, and I'll come back when God wants me to come back, you pray for her. Ain't God good? Amen.
Brother Chip, continue to pray for Colton's nephew, Brantley, and his sister.
Yes. I asked Colton this morning, said she was doing good, so was the baby, so keep them in your prayer. The little booger weighed 1 pound. You've seen a little one in the NICU, haven't you? So's Brittany. Was she in the NICU too?
Premature.
Really? It's all grown up now. Amen. He didn't humiliate you, you're among friends. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. It is good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Would you bow with me? I'm going to ask Scott, if you will, to dismiss us in prayer. Scott.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for giving your Son for us to live eternal life with you. Thank you for Brother Chip and the message he gave us today. Please be with all the families that are suffering in need. All this we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.